Hello and welcome to the Sports Vibe podcast with me, Ryan Fussell, joined by Lee Partridge and Noah Abrahams as usual. Well, it's four games in and Watford suffered their first loss of the season away at Reading. Wasn't the greatest match, but was it just a minor blip? We'll discuss that, plus Watford's start to the season. Also, transfer deadline day passed. Watford lost key and well-respected players at the club. Gerard Delafeu, Jerome Sinclair, Danny Welbeck, Etienne Capoue. What happened to all of them? We'll discuss that. And who will be incoming to Watford to help them through the Championship season? And finally, the local sides, Willstone, finally kicked off their season in the National League. So did Barnet and Boreham Wood. And the National League South, Hemel Hempstead and St Albans are away as well. How do they get on? We'll discuss that all on the latest episode of the Sports Vibe podcast. Coming up. Hello, and you're listening to the Sports Vibe podcast. I hope that you are well and keeping safe during these times. We have another brilliant podcast in store for you today. Joined as usual by the chaps, Noah Abrahams, who is up in Derby, I believe, today. Hello to you, Noah.
Hi, Ryan. Hi, Ali. Good to be speaking to you both in these troubled times, but at least we've got football to talk about.
Absolutely. And Lee Partridge, presenter of Vibe 107.6, also joins us on the line as well. How are you?
Hi, campers. Yeah, I'm all right. I'm not too bad.
Let's just get straight into it, shall we? Watford, bit of a disappointing result going into the international break. They lost 1-0 away at Reading. Wasn't particularly a great game. Not many chances for either side, but Reading, in the end, took their chance when it came. It was disappointing, though, I think, because it seems as if no goals away from home and only two at home so far. For a side that's just been relegated, you'd expect slightly more. Lee, just what do you think went wrong at Reading?
Even though we're only four games into the season, you know, we've only scored two goals. And we haven't conceded many, which is good. Hopefully that's a sign for the rest of the season. Reading were going well. They were never going to be easy, I think, which we alluded to last week. They'd started the season really well, maximum points, I think. So it was never going to be easy. Now, did we create as many chances as maybe you'd need to? No, but there again, we was playing a side that's going well this year. A great free kick from Garner, just hit the other side of the post. You know, possession, we looked good. I mean, if you look at the stats through the whole game, we was equal, if not better, on most of the stats. So that, you know, that does bode well. Once again, playing against a team that had started so well in Reading. I think I mentioned it last week with Pedro and Sar, two fantastic players that are going to create a lot of chances over the season and cause a lot of teams a lot of problem. Maybe just need to bed in a bit more. But is that the front pairing that we will see for the rest of the season? Probably not, because I think, you know, a so-called, in brackets, centre-forward and then playing off them, I think that will utilise them a lot better and create a lot of chance. If I was a centre-forward, like back in the day, to have one or either of those guys either side of you creating space and getting some great crosses in or challenges in, I mean, you'd love that as a centre-forward, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. I mean, you did allude to that last week. You're at the Luton match, so you saw it in live time. So you did say that sort of Sar and Pedro were drifting into the same positions. I do agree. I think Watford did miss a centre-forward during the Reading match, and sort of Pedro didn't really have the best game. He looked slightly lightweight, but he had actually looked quite strong and good in that position over the last couple of games. But he's at his best when he opens his legs, and same as Sar, and gets going either down the wing or taking players on, and they're not two players that you'd expect to hold the ball up. Noah, do you also agree? Do you think Watford did lack a centre-forward?
Well, I agree with what you've both said. I don't think Watford could find those gaps against Reading like they could against Luton. Reading are a better side than Luton, but it's all down to Sar getting in between those gaps, balls through the middle, and going through on goal that way. I thought James Garner was excellent. Look, I'm going to echo what you've both said. I think going forwards, Watford haven't been as impressive as perhaps they should be, having been relegated. They can't get downhearted when they miss chances. Obviously, Garner, as Lee mentioned, hit the bar. yeah, a forward would be a massive asset.
Lee, how do you think, obviously it's difficult to discuss the Reading game really, because not much tended to happen other than Watford obviously losing 1-0, and there wasn't many chances, a bit of a scrappy game. There was obviously a sad injury to Tom Dedibashiru, who's looked like the player actually in the games that he's played, and Watford obviously also hampered by Knox to Cleverley in the week as well, and Ken Semmer, which have obviously been key players to them. If you were to look back at the last four matches, the start of the season, how would you summarise Watford's start?
Well, I think in light of what happened last year, getting relegated from the Premier League, I think any side that comes down has got a little bit of added pressure, some may disagree with me, but a bit of added pressure there because of the squad you've had in the Premier League. That comes down, it gets depleted, players move on, got to get players in, got to fill gaps, which potentially you've had big gaps because of the quality that may have left, you know, such as, you know, we've had with either Pereira or De La Feu, etc., etc. So there's a little bit more pressure than maybe the likes of Bristol City that have been going well the last few years, and they're gradually improving year after year, and their squad's improving, as opposed to maybe a squad that's had players take away. You've got to do a very, very quick bit of rebuilding. Listen, I'm always going to err on the positive. You know, we've lost one game to a side at the top by just the single goal. We've not conceded many goals. Yes, equally, we've not scored many, but, you know, hopefully that will come. Once this window has finished, I think we'll know where we're at then, because I think there's maybe still, I know we're going to talk about transfers, still a bit more movement. And then once it's settled down, I don't think you can get your teeth into the season. So I think it was really important, though, beginning of this season, we see how Norwich have started. We see how lots of teams come down from the Premier League, how they start the season. You know, they lose two of their first three games or three or four, or, you know, they're nowhere near, you know, and they're always playing catch-up. And I think the way we've started, I think we started in a positive way, and especially the massive game against that side from Bedfordshire.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously a huge positive to take out of the first four games, was that there is some fight and commitment in the squad. I don't think anyone doubts that. It looks like Ivic is trying to create a bit of a solid team that, you know, is going to be difficult to break down. Everyone who watched it will say that Watford just lacked that striker to be able to maybe score 20 goals a season at the minute. Obviously, their players still to come back. Noah, out of the four matches that you've seen from Watford this season, and maybe a bit of pre-season as well, how would you summarise Watford's starts this season?
I think it's been a good start. I mean, look, Reading started four academy players. Should we be beating a side that had five on the bench and four on the pitch? Watford haven't won away on the road since January, so I think that needs to improve, obviously. I think it's been a good start. Like Lee said, you've got to be optimistic. They've only lost one game. You don't count the League Cup. But on the weekend, Watford just couldn't score. And that's a problem. And whilst James Garner was excellent and there were some standout performances, Ben Foster played well, he kept out Yaku Meets, who could have scored a second for Reading, there are problems going forwards, and I think that's a worry. If you're going to win games 1-0, like I said last week on the podcast, that's fine, but you've got to win those games 1-0, and you've got to get that one goal. So, yeah, I think Watford has started well. But going forwards, as we get to the Christmas period and fixtures get more difficult, that is obviously the problem. With 9 days left of this transfer window, go and sign a striker. Danny Welbeck's just gone. Go and get someone in like Welbeck, who's a clinical finisher and who can get those goals.
Yeah, so you mentioned transfers there. Obviously, deadline day for Europe was this week, which saw a lot of movement happen. As you mentioned, Danny Welbeck, although he didn't actually go on deadline day, the club and Danny Welbeck agreed to mutually end their contract, so he's now a free agent. But you did see players move on. Pesetto has gone to Udinese, Jerome Sinclair, Alberto Penirandano has also, they've both gone out on loan to the same side. Gerard Delafeu has gone on loan to Udinese. Obviously, of course, he's still injured. He's a big miss, isn't he? I think that sort of brought a bit of reality down to me, Lee, that, you know, it's not the Premier League anymore when, you know, a player that has done just incredibly magical things for Watford. We think back to the FA Cup semi-final, we think back to his first match at home against Chelsea. He's been at the heart of some big moments for Watford over the last couple of seasons, obviously on their Premier League and FA Cup journey. He's going to be pretty hard to replace. But if Watford bounce back, I don't think he's gone forever, has he, Lee?
Like you say, some great, great moments for Delafaye with us at the club. But it's about moving forward. And you can't dwell on what's happened in the past. You can look back on it very fondly, but you can't base moving forwards on it, because players change, lots of players come and go for lots of football clubs. So I think, and I really do think, Pedro and Sarr, it's so key to keeping them at the club, because they're so young and they've got so much to offer and they've got so much to learn. They're quite raw talents at the moment. Coaching the right way, I think they could be as equally as impressive for us as Delafaye, given time, as long as we can keep those players. I know we're going to talk about transfers, but at the moment we've got three centre-forwards in Gray, Deeney and Murray. So if they're going to be part of that, then that's great, because I think there's goals in them playing alongside the two I've just spoke about. Still got Will Hughes to come back. Cleverly come on, didn't he, as far as I remember, yep, against Reading. So we've still got a quality there, but it is, again, it's finding that centre-forward. But I think once this final window is closed, then we will know where we're at, because we're talking about signing someone. Or, you know, Noah just mentioned about got to sign someone. We can't sign a centre-forward while we've still got those three players there. Because it's just impossible. You couldn't have four players for the same position.
No, there's also Perica to add into that, of course, who's also signed from Udinese. We haven't seen much of him yet because of his red card at Newport County, but he did look okay in a couple of matches that he played. Also, the most interesting one, just get your thoughts on it, both of you. Noah, I'll start with you. Etienne Capoue is still a member of the side. His move to Valencia seemed to be problems there, which obviously ex-Watford manager Javi Gracia has now threatened to resign his role at Valencia because he couldn't get Capoue. However, just looking through a couple of what credible journalists, Adam Leventhal said that a move to the Premier League seems unlikely because the Cubs want to sell. Still time to get that done, of course, as Lee mentions that. 16th of October is when the domestic window closes, so Cubs can still negotiate. Etienne Capoue handed in a transfer request and said he wasn't going to play for the club again. That obviously, I think in terms of the 5 years, what he'd done was magnificent. I think you had to give him the opportunity to move on, because he's clearly still got a lot left in him as a very talented player. But if Capoue doesn't get that move, Noah, would you like to see him back playing for Watford in the Championship? Do you think that would happen, or do you think they'll just hold out until the next transfer window and not play him?
No, I think Capoue could stay at Watford. Look, he's got a great CV. He can't go to Valencia, and there are problems with Javi Gracia over there, and we know that. But I think Capoue, look, we've lost Jose Holabas, who was a massive blow, a massive loss. I think he was a key player and really instrumental in Watford's success. So I don't think it would be wise to lose the connection we've got with Etienne Capoue. I think, given what he wants, and hopefully he stays because he's a real asset to Watford, and he couldn't go to Valencia. Maybe he can rebuild again at Watford, and next time out he can have that aim of moving on. But hopefully Capoue stays, because I think he's a great player.
And Lee, do you think Capoue could integrate himself back into the squad with what's happened? It's obviously a bit of a more tricky situation with a player like Capoue, because obviously there's agents involved, there's obviously the club, there's other clubs that are in for him. If a move doesn't happen, would you, as a Watford fan, feel comfortable with him playing again for the club? Do you think he'd be able to offer himself as he did in Premier League in a Championship, knowing that potentially in January it could all end again?
Well, this goes down to an individual, and we see players, some of the best players in the world in history, they've not wanted to be at a club. And if they don't want to be at a club, then it doesn't matter how good they are, they're no good for you. So I don't know the ins and outs of the move and how it broke down, etc. But if he was to commit, if no one comes in for him, and he doesn't want to go anywhere else, and he's at Watford, and you'd like to think that the professional side of a player, bearing in mind he's had some good years at Watford, and I know there was a little bit of a barren spell there for him, but picked himself up again and performed really well for us last season. So if he's got the club at heart, then he should be performing for the club if he's still with us. I think he has a lot to offer. Don't get me wrong. In that division, be able to stroll around at times and still perform at a decent level in that division. But you do need people to dig in. You do need the squad. But most importantly, you need people that want to play for your club, no matter who you are.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, as Lee said, the talent of Etienne Capoue is for everyone to see when he's on form. If he is playing in the Championship, wow, what a player he would be for Watford. Now, in terms of transfers, still time to get deals done. I know, as we speak, there's a lot of interest in Barry Douglas from Leeds. I've read rumours that Baba Rahman from Chelsea, both left wing backs. There's also talks of Christian Atsu coming in from Newcastle on loan. Noah, do you think there's errors in Watford's squad? We've spoken about the striker situation. We know Watford are full of strikers. That's probably why some have been moved on. Do you think the left wing back position is an area Watford need to improve on?
Well, Barry Douglas and Baba Rahman, as you just said, two left backs, and yeah, I think there's room for improvement there. Baba Rahman's been nurtured at Chelsea under some of the best coaches in the world, no doubt, and Barry Douglas has played under one of the best in the world under Marcelo Bielsa. So two players, again, with CVs that are impressive, with coaches behind them that they would have learnt a lot off. So why not? I think they'd add a lot to the Championship, especially a player like Barry Douglas, who's played for Leeds already in the Championship. He knows the league, he knows the division. So why not, I think, get him into the Watford squad and see what he can do. Watford have plenty of money to spend, so I think they should go and spend it and get in a player like Barry Douglas, because I think he knows what he's doing and he's proven himself in the division.
Yeah, absolutely. Lee, if you were to say, look at the Watford team and the matches that you've watched and seen, is there an area to the squad you think Watford need to improve on most?
To be honest, I think we look strong all over the park, and we've got players that can slot in, you know, if our first choice isn't available, and have an equally positive outcome. I honestly don't see any weaknesses. Players that have come in, you know, Wilmot and Garner, like we said before, they seem to stroll around like a young Rolls Royce strolling around. Seem so comfortable on the ball. And that's what I've been really impressed with, that the players have never looked hurried. They're still doing the same thing that they're trying to do by passing the ball around, you know, and knocking the ball around, moving into space. They're still trying to do the same things, even like that, like I said about the Derby game. They huffed and they puffed, but we still had that bit of class about us. And even in the Borough game, we still did the same thing. At the moment, if we'd have scored, say we'd have scored another two or three goals, we wouldn't necessarily be having half of these conversations, because we wouldn't be saying we need to find somewhere to create. We create chances, but to be clinical with them. If you go up, I think historically, any team that goes up out of this division, they've always got someone that scored between 15 and 20 goals for them. I very much doubt there's a team that's gone up that hasn't had that, or at least one player. So that's kind of what you need to find, one way, shape or form, a player that's going to give you that many goals and then everybody else chips in. I mean, that's what you need, I think, to get out of this division. Yeah. Because you will struggle to have five or six players all score between 10 and 15. It just won't happen. Oh, I very much doubt it. I hope it does, but I very much doubt it. So I don't think it's necessarily so many players coming in. I think it's just we need to settle down and then just try and get that formula at the top end, because we've got the quality in there to create loads of chances for one or two players.
Yeah, and I think, Evandre Gray, Troy Deeney, Will Hughes, keep our fingers crossed for Etienne Capoue, will come back into the side. I think that's going to be like four new signings completely for the squad. Really will give the younger players a boost, knowing that they're going to be playing alongside Troy Deeney or Andre Gray, who's got such good Championship experience. We know can put the ball in the back of the net in that league. So those coming back into side is really going to help. Of course, it's the international break now, which means that Watford aren't playing this weekend. Players gone off onto international duty will come back and review Watford's first game back next week. The local sides are still in action this weekend. And let's talk about some of them, shall we? Willstone, let's start with them, because finally, after a postponed game against Chesterfield on the weekend just gone, last night they kicked off. It would have been Tuesday on the time of recording. Away at Yeovil, tough game. A club that was in the Championship only a few years ago. Wow, must have been a good experience for Willstone. Drew 2-2. Noah, you're obviously very heavily associated with Willstone. I know, Lee, you're a big follower as well. Noah, how did you summarise that start to the season? That's a pretty impressive result.
Agreed. Really impressive. That's the first time back in the division for Willstone in donkey's years. And Dean Brennan's side to get two goals against a fairly established Yeovil town. That's impressive. I would be happy with that if I were a Willstone fan. A nice little away day for the media team there as well. I know they enjoyed it. That's a good start. They didn't lose. They scored two goals. The first time they played in the division in a long, long time. Yeah, I'd be happy with that if I were a Willstone fan.
And Lee, it's just amazing to see. Obviously, no, last season they were brilliant in the National League North, South, and got themselves promoted out of it in just incredible. They absolutely tore the division apart, let's be honest there. It's just nice to see a club like Willstone playing football as high as the National League, isn't it?
It is, and we see teams that come into the league, such as Barrow in recent years, and Crawley, look where Crawley come from, and numerous other teams. So it shows it can be done. If you get the right formula, you get the right players at the right time, you know, you can push them. There's no reason Willstone couldn't do that. They've got some good connections with other clubs to be able to get players in on loan as well. I know that for a fact. And like Noah says, great to see them get a draw under their belt, get some goals under their belt, really importantly, against a side, Yeovil, that have, you know, been like into the Championship and have been knocking around the Football League for a number of years, albeit I know they're not now, but they have been. So it shows that, you know, they're a decent outfit, Yeovil. And it's a bit of a journey down there.
Yeah,
it must... Hewish Park, I think it is. Hewish Park?
Yeovil, yeah, it's obviously a long old way down the A303, I think. So it must have been a nice journey for the Willstone players, but finally they're on their way down to play National League football. So best of luck to them. Elsewhere in the division, Barnet probably had the better start out of the local sides. They beat Dagenham Redbridge. They did also lose their first game. Boreham Wood lost as well, their only match they played, so not a great start for them. Then let's go down to National League South. Hemel Hempstead and St Albans also finally kicked off. A great win for St Albans, beating Hampton 1-0. Solid defence from them this season. Lee, how do you expect St Albans to get on this season?
They had fits and starts last year. They had a real good patch, then dropped away, then they come back again, much same as Hemel as well. You know, I know they lost 1-0, I believe. But once again, I don't want to go on about it, but it's going to go back to the smaller clubs, all the ones we've just spoke about there, you know, about the finances, keeping them above the line so they're still trading, they're still able to do what they do. Like I said before, it's not just the football. They're, you know, embedded in the community, these small local clubs. And I love to see small local football. And I know I banged on about it last week, but some of them, you know, might get 300 people. And that's all been stopped. And I know for safety reasons, of course, of where we are. But then someone needs to explain that you can get on a plane 300 people and sit next to them for hours and hours and hours, and yet you can't go for an hour and a half watch a game of football in the outdoors, social distances, metres away from people, you know. And it is something, I know a lot of people are saying it, but it is something that we do need to get a grip of and have a look at. And if it can possibly be done safely, of course, no one needs to that explained to them, it's something that we've got to do, and sooner rather than later, if we possibly can, you know, the head of sport, media and culture, I believe, is a local MP to Hartsmere, Oliver Dowden. It's something that they need to look at. They really, really do, because the smaller clubs, from people I've spoke to, they're the ones that it's going to hit first. We'll hit all clubs, but it will start down at the bottom where the finances are maybe less affluent, and then it's going to work its way up through the leagues as well, if nothing's done about it.
Absolutely. I think it's a conversation that needs to be had because I know these clubs are desperately missing fans. Noah, I'll just bring you in on that in a second, but let's just also just recap. Hemel Hempstead's result in the National League South, they lost 1-0 away at Slough. So not a particularly great start. It wasn't a away match for Hemel. And quickly, we'll just mention Stevenage had a good start, won their first match, drawed their second, but since then they've lost their next two. So Stevenage didn't have a particularly good campaign last year. In a better position now than what they were last season, halfway up the table. So let's hope their form picks back up again. And Noah, just... running out of time, but in terms of fans at football, Lee's mentioned that conversation needs to be had. How do you think this is? We've spoken about this for many weeks, but in terms of these lower league clubs that rely so heavily on the income, they need to work out some sort of deal or ways of getting fans back in, don't they?
Yeah, I know the Premier League's now getting involved. I think the government need to open their eyes. I think they are getting involved. Now it's taken enough time. I've been to two non-league games whilst up in Derby, two non-elite games of football, and the social distancing has been impeccable. I don't see why that can't go forward in the National League South and North, and then in the National League Two. The stadiums are big enough. You can reduce the amount of people, but Lee's right. You can sit on an aeroplane for 3-4 hours next to 200 people in a tight, packed compartment. Why can't you sit outdoors, separated, socially distanced from people in a football ground?
You stand outdoors no sense. As well.
It's quite baffling. I don't know what's going to happen. I know yesterday Boris Johnson said he wants to end social distancing by 2021. So hopefully that means the swift return of elite football. But we'll see what happens. I know the Premier League are trying their very best to get the non-league game back to its best.
Yeah, I think... it's going to be a difficult winter, and let's hope in the next few weeks, even if the government just gave the clubs some sort of positive messaging or timeline to be able to say, look, we know it's bad at the moment, but we are looking and we want fans to return to Stadia, and you know, here's a timeline, 2 months' time, if things are looking better, you can start your test events again. That would help the clubs, I think, Lee, wouldn't it?
It would do. And we're talking football here, but I mean, this goes right across sport, doesn't it? And, you know, I know we're talking about sport, it goes right across all sports, and lots of other different industries are facing the same problems. We've got to find a way, sooner or later, a safe way. Noah's just said that Boris said he wants to end it next year. I mean, lots of things have been said. Who knows where we're going to be next year? Whoever thought that this was going to happen a year ago. So where we're going to be, we don't know. So sometimes it's about the here and now. Look at it as we are now. Is there something we can do in a safe way? And if we can, let's strive to do it. It's not going to be for everybody, because there will be some people that wouldn't go back to football, I believe, because they may feel uncomfortable. And that is, you know, their own decision to take on board. Some people view it slightly differently. And long as it's done in a safe manner, or the safest possible manner, like we spoke about aeroplanes and lots of you meeting, you go into a restaurant, you can go into a pub, and then you just sit next to people, you know, in your groups of six, whatever it may be. And I don't understand how, and I have been banging on about it, sorry to go on about it, I don't understand how we can all do that. I drive past restaurants and they're absolutely mobbed. And I'm not saying that's the wrong thing. I'm not saying that at all. In the groups of six or in the bubble or in four, or whatever they may be, masks on when I go to the toilet and back now, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm not saying that's the wrong thing. But we've got to look at other industries, and we've got to give them a fighting chance as well before it's too late for some of them. It really is. You know, it's the same as golf. You know, no one's been back to watch a game of golf. I mean, you're outside and you can be not miles away, but metres and metres away from people they could restrict it to. But, you know, they've not allowed that either as well.
Yeah, it's obviously a complex situation, and obviously, we all watch football still, and we will continue to do so and support the club by buying the match to hopefully help them out. And the fans always will, because they're loyal. But nothing ever compares to actually being inside the stadium. And I know a lot of football fans are hurting at the moment. And I am, and I'm sure you two are, as big, passionate football fans that we are. You know, all we can do is keep our fingers crossed and hope that we can return as quickly and as safely as possible for the best for everyone. Well, that brings us to the end of the Sports Vibe podcast. Is there anything else you want to add on, Lee or Noah? Have we missed
any level of sport? And I just wanted to say well done to, I mentioned it last week, well done to Matt Wallace and Callum Swinkin, who were playing in the Scottish Open last week up there at Renaissance Club. Both had a fairly good weekend. Both made the cut and finished in the top 30, I think. And they're off to Wentworth for the PGA, the BMW PGA, this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I want to wish Matt Wallace and Callum Shinquin, both local golfers, good luck in that.
Well, that brings us to the end, chaps. Thanks very much. Obviously, if you enjoy listening, of course, give Vibe 107.6 a follow on social media, like on Facebook, all that stuff. And, of course, you know, give us your thoughts on the podcast because we'd like to improve it somehow. Hopefully get some special guests on over the coming weeks as well, which will be entertaining for you all to listen to. So take care, Noah and Lee.
Thanks, yep. Ryan.
Take care. See you, Noah.
Bye bye.
And if anyone does comment, if anyone does comment on this podcast, be kind.
Yeah.
See you later, Ryan.
Have a safe week, and we'll be back next week. Bye bye.
Just sort of say thank you to everyone that does actually take the time out to have a listen to the podcast. We do appreciate that as well.
Yeah, of course. It's great fun to do, and we don't do it for ourselves. We do it for you, the dear listeners. So, thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers.